All right, we're live. Welcome, everyone. You're going to see things are a little bit different. This is What Embargo episode D-A-C-C-8 Day, which is why Catfish and I decided to use Spanish is beginning to question our knowledge because we're struggling in saying these titles. But as you can see, Brother Catfish is not with us tonight. We had a scheduling conflict, but our good friend and knowledgeable cigar smoker on the American market, Cigar Coop, is with us. Coop.
Hey, Tuna, how's it going tonight?
It's going well. Thanks for being here. If you
Thanks
guys
for having me.
Absolutely. If you guys aren't familiar with Cigar Coop, he's the Cigar Coop. It's cigarcoop.com. Is it cigar-coop or it's automatic on my computer now?
It's dash coop.
Yeah, cigar-coop. He's also a member of the Stogie Geeks. He does everything in terms of cigar news. He brings it all, reviews, everything. He's what I like to call the full wheel. But he's going to be filling in today, and we're going to be doing a show that's a little bit different. And we're going to be going, kind of talking about Cuban market, but also the American market, and the title Cuban-esque. And what does it mean? What do we think it means? And what are some Cuban-esque cigars for the American market? Before we really go anywhere else, though, in recent Habanos news, this is pretty exciting. If you go to HabanosCritic.com, Habanos announced last week that the Cohiba brands were going to start getting new bands. They wanted to add to the classic and the 1492 lines the bands which had been placed on the Piramonte Extras, which was released in 2011. So that's going to start happening right away. Anytime you see these new Robustos, Siglo 6, anything along those lines, you're going to see these new bands. You can see them at HabanosCritic.com. Let me see if I can pull it up and show it to you all real quick. I don't think that's going to work. That's what the bands are going to look like. Those are the new Cohiba bands. Now, they will not be putting them on the Maduro 5 right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do something along those lines. Later on, so which I think it's a nice packaging upgrade. Coop, what do you think about it?
I think it's good too. Now, from what I understand, I'm looking at the top and the bottom, and from what I heard, it part of it was to try to combat counterfeiting.
Yeah, it's really going to combat it. It's they've got holograms all over the place. And they look great to begin with.
They really do. They have the you look at the holograms, just add a nice effect to it. The Cohiba logo itself also has the hologram on it, which, you know, when you kind of zoom in on it, you can see that.
Yeah, it's all over. So it's really, I think when they launched the Bahique back in 2010, this really kind of got things rolling, and I think it's good. I think it's good that you're going to see that with the brand. I think it's a brand that needs it. So that's exciting news. The other exciting news is, and this is just for me, is I smoked the new Oya, which is the first Oya to be released in about over 5 years. They haven't released one in a long time. It's the new La Oya de San Juan, which is a big, big cigar, especially for Cuba. It's a 6x54 basically, and it's really smooth, really flavorful. It comes in 10 count and 25 count boxes. So if you come across the 10 count box and commit to it. It's going to be a good time. They're going to age wonderfully. As of right now, though, I can tell you it's contender for number one cigar of the year for me, for Habanos Critic, and it's going to do well on Ses Humidor.
Seem very confident in that with more potential.
Yeah, I'm loving it. So it's a great stick. So, but So that's kind of the news, and bring that stuff up to beat. I'm smoking a Catfish, and I usually say we like to talk about what we're smoking. I'm smoking the Vegas Robaina Unicos, the Piramide, and I'll get that review up probably in the next couple weeks. And then we've assessed the entire brand that's on the market that's ready to production, which is pretty exciting for us. We'll do a little write up on that. Coop, what are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Tatuaje Black Label, the CRA edition. Which is they did a Toro with a Fume cap and a covered foot.
Nice.
And we'll kind of get into that because I think there's some, with Black Label, we were talking before the show, I think Cuban-esque could play into that.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll definitely talk about that. I just smoked the Famosos on Stogie Geeks a few weeks ago, and I was pretty impressed with it. You know, I definitely had it as a box-worthy cigar. It was that was my bucket list cigar. I had not smoked a Vegas Rubania before, and I was blown away how good it was. It had a lot of complexity.
It's a really good line, and it's not a line I really go to that much or ever really try to, but I know Catfish is a big fan of it. Go ahead.
I'll just say, you know, Mark Jr., who's one of our co-hosts, he used the term for this cigar, Cuban crispness.
Cuban Christmas.
Crisp.
Oh, crisp.
Crisp. I'm not Cuban crisp. Crisp as in crispy. What would you think if you said that? Because I kind of thought it did have it.
It's interesting. Now I'm thinking about it. You know, you're like trying to – it's very – it's not very – I'm trying to think about the right word to use. It is crisp. It's kind of like fine lines, but it's very enjoyable. It's pronounced.
Right. Right. Exactly. Where, you know, we'll get into Cuban twang probably a little later. It has some of that Cuban twang, but it's more pronounced in terms of how you can delineate it from the other flavors.
The crisp is an interesting quality. I've never even thought about it.
Because he had actually smoked that cigar a few weeks before I did, and when he used that term, it stuck in my head, and he's right. As soon as I smoked it, that was my feeling on it.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable line, and it does really well with age. A lot of the ones I've been smoking have been – well, this one's probably only about a year old. This one's probably 13, so it's still young, but it's enjoyable. But the other ones I've been smoking were from 07s. And they've been aging terrifically, if that's even a word. But yeah, the interesting thing about it is, you know, it's Robaina. Supposedly, I've heard two things. I've heard that the wrapper is actually from from Alejandro's farm when they launched the brand. I've also heard, supposedly in conversations, Alejandro say, there's none of my tobacco in that cigar.
Interesting.
So it's one of those, who knows, but either way, talking about Cuban-esque, you know, his grandson did a cigar with Cubanacan, or is.
Yes.
And you smoked it.
I smoked it, it's called the HR, and, you know, I talked to Catfish about that cigar. He had said he was going to wait to smoke his, but I had multiple samples. I gave it a run about 2 weeks after the show. Very good, and you can tell it needed a little more time to set down.
Yeah.
But it is a very good cigar. It's probably one of the better cigars to come out of Cubanacan. It's going to be a premium line. I mean, it's going to be pricey from what I heard. And I'm very curious, and I'm hearing it's not going to be available to every retailer. You're going to have to basically make an investment in Cubanacan to get it.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the line. So I'm a little skeptical about that approach. Basically, the price point I'm hearing is going to be, you know, around the $15 point.
That's high.
It's high. And, you know, so I don't know who's going to take a chance on it. But, again, this is a historic cigar for, you know, this is historic that they've gotten Rubania.
I think it's a store for anyone. I mean, it's one of those things. This is really, I think, the cigar that can put them on the map.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, I think Cubanacan's done some good stuff. They have not had something that I would say by any means is a wow cigar of the year, but they have some good stuff.
Well, good deal. So getting into that. If any of our American watchers, and most of you probably are American, everyone has probably heard the term Cuban-esque. They've probably said it, or they've heard someone say it, or they've read the Herrera Esteli ads where Drew Estate puts it right there, Cuban-esque. I know I've thrown the term around. And, you know, I talked about this with Coop, because when Coop was going to be on, I said, look, you know, let's do something about this, because this is a term which can be used for many areas. But my question for you overall, Coop, is when you say a cigar is Cuban-esque, what do you mean by that? What is
well,
yours?
So it's a loaded term.
It
okay,
is.
We could talk about it from a flavor standpoint. All right, and there's some, you know, and there's some qualities we can get into, like Cuban twang, what that exactly is. There is the physical appearance of the cigars. So they can be in Vitolas that are classic Cuban sizes. With, and then it's a packaging piece with the banding and the boxes. And some, as we've, some cigars will have all three of those qualities. Some of them will have one of those three qualities. So I think it, like I said, it's by all means a loaded term. I think in general, the flavor is probably going to be the most prevalent of all that. So, you know, you can look at like what Dion's done, right, with Luzioni, and he's got some very Cuban-esque packaging and banding.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of the, you know, the recent releases especially,
okay,
or his cabinet boxes. But, you know, his cigars are Nicaraguan through and through. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you in that sense. I mean, Dion's sense of packaging is one of those things. And you're right, it is a loaded question, because the first thing is, you know, the first thing you're thinking about is flavors, and you're like, man, does this smoke like a Cuban? And I've thrown it around before, probably sometimes more than is appropriate, especially when you start smoking more Cubans, you start hearing it, and you're like, no, that's not really Cuban-esque. But the biggest thing I think most people look at is the flavor profile. And
yep.
It's this whole, it tastes like a Cuban, or there's this quality to it, which is AKA Cuban-esque. And let's just start with the biggest one, and it's also a company that's biggest news, is Herrera Esteli. They announced right away Cuban-esque. What do you think they were talking about of that cigar? Because you smoked it really on, and you still smoked it, and I've smoked them.
Yep.
What do you think was that Cuban-esque quality to it, if you think it had it?
I think it had some Cuban-esque qualities. I agree with Catfish. There are definitely, in my opinion, there's more Cuban-esque cigars flavor-wise than that.
Yeah.
But some of the qualities I got out of that were definitely some of the toast notes.
Yes.
Some of those toast notes are definitely something that you'll get out of that. There is a pepper to that thing, but it's not a pepper bomb. And the other thing I would say is there's a little bit of vanilla, which I tend to sometimes get off of Cubans as well. I didn't think it had that Cuban twang.
Yeah.
Now, how do you define a Cuban twang? Because I have my definition of it.
For me, the best way I describe it is you picture this. To be honest, it's like picture some cedar wood, some Spanish cedar, that's been chilling on a beach, getting hit by saltwater waves for a period of time. And if you start toasting that, I feel like if you took a piece of that, it's kind of damp, or you let it dry a little bit, it's got some saltiness to it, but it's got that cedarness quality to it. That's the flavor that to me really shows itself with some Cuban cigars. If that makes any sense.
It does. I think the twang is almost a citric meeting pepper, but it's not a citrus spice. I think you just hit on something that toasting kind of is the third component.
Yeah.
It's going to linger on the tongue, though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not going to be on the tongue and then gone. It says Jose Blanco, he calls it the finish on a cigar.
It is.
And
it's
got a long finish.
It's got this lemony, you know, quality, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of spice. It's, you know, and I always get it with like a Room 101 Namakubi.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The lemon.
That cigar shows some of those qualities. It doesn't show the complete picture, but it's one of those things to me that really shows. And I think it's a combination of the tobacco with some Honduran tobacco and Dominican tobacco. I think that does a really good job of showing that. But, yeah, and those are flavors. And I think you're right with the Herrera Esteli. For me, it's that toast. There's almost like this barnyard flavor, a little bit of spice, but it's not a spice bomb, but there is this little sharp pepper quality to it. And to me, that's kind of where some of those qualities are.
Yeah. But and it's not, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and it's a medium in terms of strength and body.
It's not over the top.
Yeah, it's not going to weigh heavy on your palate, which, you know, it's so, and that's, I think, it was everything that, let's say, Liga Privada and Undercrown wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you think about, they have a lot of coffee, earthy notes, a little more strength and pepper with those cigars.
So, yeah. Someone, you know, another someone in the chat room just said Curavari bands, and we'll get into packaging.
Yeah, yeah. Shortly. Very good point about that.
I mean, that's very, very Partagas-like. But, yeah, I mean, for Herrera Esteli, that is the quality. You know, Catfish and I disagree dramatically on this brand. I like it a lot more than he does. But of course, when he hates it, it's you only have to like it a little bit to really like it a lot more than he does. But he's not a big fan of the brand. I think if you smoke that in a, I don't think the Lancero shows it as much, but I feel like the Lonsdale and the Robusto show some of those Cuban-esque qualities to a certain extent. I don't think it shows it in the Bellicosa, but the Lonsdale and the Robustos do.
In your top 25, where did that cigar land last year?
Number 10. The Lonsdale
was
number
10. I had it at 16. But I think you and I agree, when they first came out, something happened over the year, and I know there was some construction issues that we've talked about, but there was something over the year that happened, though, that cigar lost stock.
It did.
I can't put my finger on it. I can't put my finger. Maybe it was the construction issues, but I don't think it was just that. I'm not sure. Is anyone going to talk about having a Herrera Esteli in their humidor for 2 or 3 years and this thing smoking unbelievable? That's going to be the question. We don't know the answer to that yet.
You know, and I still have some of those. I still have a couple Lonsdales and Robustos. Because remember that for the original shipment was not in cellophane.
Nope. And it had to put it in cellophane because of the construction.
Yeah. And I have some of those original Lonsdales and Robustos without cellophane in my humidor because I know that they are original, just to see how they are, to see over time. And I had more of them. I smoked Robusto. I didn't see it going anywhere. Now, it doesn't mean it won't or it won't do anything else. But you're right. I think that is a brand that dropped down over time. And it kind of did. It may have been Cuban-esque to begin with, but it surely lost that Cuban-esque quality as it wasn't doing well with age.
Yeah. But I smoked them very quick, too, so that's why I want to kind of – that's part of what I want to do is kind of see what's – you know, if this could be one of those cigars. I can't wait to look at it. It has plume on it and see how it smokes.
Yeah. So that's – and that's – and I picked that brand just because I think it's a pretty bold statement for Drusay to say that. But then again, if you look at the company as a whole, if you look at everything Drew Estate makes, well, yeah, Herrera Esteli is the most Cuban-esque thing they make. So, I mean, they're absolutely correct. Nothing else they make is anything in that category.
No, I mean, they're really Nicaraguan. And, you know, we started to hit – I know we're going to hit on packaging, but the packaging in Herrera Esteli, there was no logo put on there. There were cabinet-style boxes.
Yep.
Which Drew Estate has used on Liga Privada, so I don't want to say. And the Bando has no logo. I mean, that's a key thing. They went simplistic, which was everything that Drew Estate was not known for. And they produced the first Ecuadorian Habano cigar.
Yeah. The other thing with their packaging is it was they took from that Bolivar's and some others. You know, they have that gold band that wraps around the cigars, and it's got the logo in it, imprinted on it. I think I have one around here. Oh, I did have one in that box. I have it somewhere around here. But, yeah, that's the other thing they did. You see that with their cabinet boxes, and they did that with the Herrera Esteli. So that's one. Now, the other Cuban-esque, and here's a big one. We're going to hit some bigger ones, I think, now, is let's look at My Father and Tatuaje. And yep. I think this is a good one because Pepin was once rolling in Cuba. He was doing a lot of stuff in Cuba, so they're all – talk to a lot of guys. These are old school Cubans, blah, blah, blah. Going through the My Father portfolio, do you find anything in there that is Cuban-esque?
I think El Rey de los Habanos is one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Even the reblend that was done with it recently, I think that is close. I would not put I'd say Black Label. Pepin, yeah. Black Label. Absolutely.
The Cuban Classic.
Yep, I'd say that's Black Label.
It's strong.
It's strong, but it's very, again, very toasty. That has a little more of a woody taste. It's got a little less sweetness than probably some of the other cigars. But yeah, that cigar really has some little bit of firepower to it. I agree, especially in the Lanceros that they did.
Yeah, it's that's one. Now, I mean, and I'd agree with you on the My Father portfolio. That's looking at those are the ones that I'd say, okay, you know, yeah.
Le Bijou, absolutely not.
No. Hands down, no way.
Florida Santillas.
See, I don't think it is.
And I don't think it is. That, yeah, it has the packaging, but not. That's where it stops. I don't think it. I don't.
That is Nicaraguan through and through.
If I know you have a listener named Guy out there, if he thought I don't want to put any words on the map. I enjoy his feedback a lot. I don't think he would say that's Cuban-esque.
No.
And I think he would say that's trying to make it look Cuban-esque on the packaging. Yeah. I don't want to put words in his mouth, so I don't want to I'll apologize ahead of time. But that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely on that one.
Centurion.
I mean, once again, I see, you know, even the original El Centurion.
And no, I tell you, not the original. Yeah, I agree. Both of them, no.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, Pepin is, I think he brought that Cuban method. I think he really resurrected the Cuban method in America. I think he really brought back, I think he brought triple cap, the Dubar, the rolling method, the whole idea. But he's never really brought Cuban packaging, and he's never really brought that Cuban-esque flavor profile overall.
You know, he borders on some of that a little with the My Father lines, but it's not Cuban packaging. It's got shades of Cuban in it, is all I can say.
Yeah.
They're nice packaging. Le Bijou, you know, but you're not going to go to Cuba and buy a box or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's got a little bit of an undertone, maybe.
Let's go to Tatuaje, because Pete's a guy who loves throwing out all these old, a lot of these brands, El Triunfador, La Riqueza, a lot of these are old Cuban brands. He makes references to a lot of old Cubans.
Oh, yeah, El Triunfador is a brand he brought back.
Yeah.
Yep. Cabaguan refers to
Pepin Santana.
Yep.
Yeah, Sancti Spiritus is the area which Cabaguan is located in. I mean, And even you look at Ateliers, you look at when the Ateliers came out, compare those with Bahiques, and he'll even say, yeah, it's kind of a mock at that.
Yeah, and that's kind of like new school Cuban-esque, you know? You know, you go back to 2008, there was nothing like that really in Cuba, packaging-wise, it looked like that.
Oh, yeah, no. But out of his cigars and the flavor spectrum, which ones would you say are fairly Cuban-esque? Because I go through the list, and it's tough to find a lot of them.
La Riqueza, would you say that is? I wouldn't say it is. It's a broadleaf.
I wouldn't say it is. He does a great job with broadleaf, and I love his broadleaf offerings. He's one of the few guys who I really love broadleafs. But when you get into that area, I think you're leaving that whole Cuban spectrum. Now, Black Label is a cigar that kind of – he was in Cuba and it inspired him to make Black Label.
This is very Cuban-esque.
Yeah.
Toasty, hint of spice, slight twang. Slight twang, not a lot of twang. I would say this, the Toro is probably more Cuban-esque than the Lancero or the Petit Lancero.
Yeah.
You really get it off this one.
Yeah. I think in that brand, when you get a bigger ring gauge, you're getting less of that Nicaraguan Criollo.
Yep.
You're still getting and you're getting a little bit more of those vibes, but with that smaller ring gauge, that Nicaraguan Criollo really dominates. the flavor profile. I mean, I think Atelier, that Sakti Spiritus wrapper, makes it very un-Cuban-esque, but at the same time, I think the blend itself, if you really kind of looked at the blend, there is some very subtle, soft, complex qualities in there, which is Cuban-esque. Now, I'm not saying it's very Cuban-esque, because that wrapper will kill any Cuban flavor profile. But I think if you switch that wrapper out, that blend could be very
Cuban. What about Brown Label? You know, that was kind of modeled.
It was. And he modeled it off of some old ones. And it's, you know, now I think it's really taken on its own characteristic. I think
so too, yeah.
It may have been back in the day, and I can't remember stuff from back then. I mean, I remember some 06s and 05s. But it's just one of those things that it couldn't. Now, he did release, you remember last year, because you and I were at a Tinderbox with him.
Yep.
And this was when the Saints Center Box just came out. And remember when he was announcing about doing a limited cigar at events? But then he was also talking about doing a cigar for Europe.
The Iglesias? Was that the...
Yeah.
Iglesias?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cigar he put in the Saints and Sinners kit, one of them was basically mocked off of that, but it was kind of... The idea was to bring it to Europe to, I think, a German retailer or a French retailer, something like that. That cigar was very Cuban-esque. Pete blended that, and that was blended for the European market. It was very different than what the American market's looking for. So, and that's a shame that you didn't get to smoke. I only smoked one of them, but I think if we talked to a couple other Saints and Center guys, they'd probably say, yeah, I see what you're saying with that. Black Label, you're right, is the classic. A lot about that is just kind of really, you know, Cuban to me.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Let's talk Illusione in a flavor spectrum.
Yeah. Am I supposed to be shifting the camera onto me at any time or no?
What do you mean?
Like, get my pick. I know. Do I click on me when I'm talking?
No, it automatically goes to you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Illusione. I mean, if we look at those lines, I wouldn't say the original documents is.
No. That's Arganor. I mean, that's Casa Fernandez.
Oh yeah.
You know, they make cigar, and Paul Palmer's gonna make. They make them in the Cuban tradition, though.
Yeah.
It's got its own characteristics.
It is.
Paul may disagree with me on that.
But it's, I agree with you about that. One of them, I'm sorry, the chat room's blowing up with people throwing in comments here. This is actually pretty productive. Epernay is very interesting because Epernay is almost like the Olla Double Coronas and the fact that there's no Ligero used in that blend whatsoever. So this is all Nicaraguan, but there's no Ligero, so it's very subtle. I think it's a little too complex and unique for a Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
But I see where he's going with it, and it is in some ways a little bit Cuban-esque, even though it's really not showing that flavor profile.
There are some really good comments we got to get to on on his comments too.
Yeah.
So we'll hit those guys. So yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna get all. We're gonna
yeah.
get.
All. Yep.
Now, do you think there's anything else in Nicaragua, which is kind of producing that Cuban-esque profile?
Well, one of them was Regis and Elogio, with the two that PSI man mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, hands down.
Yes.
And it's no secret why Catfish loves those brands.
Oh yeah. That Black Label, Regis Black Label. You know, you smoke. I smoke that Robusta. I mean, that's just screaming Cuban-esque qualities.
It really does. It is. It's done with Nicaraguan tobacco. I mean, but you know, Akil was going for something with that cigar.
Yes.
He had a vision. So, and then the Orchins, which I don't think you've smoked the Orchins.
No, same I thing. Haven't smoked them, yeah.
Yeah, the Orchins also have that. the exclusive OUSAs, I don't think were quite in that wheelhouse. I think they deviate. You've already smoked one of the exclusivos?
The new white ones? I haven't smoked them. They're chilling in my humidor, just kind of.
Okay. Yeah, let me know what you're thinking about. I don't think they're necessarily Cuban-esque, but they're very good. I mean, that's not a knock on them.
So, but that's, you know, the Elogio with the, in my opinion, that's Siri LSV.
Yep.
That's one that's, to me, it really shows a lot of those flavor profiles. I mean, it's a hell of a cigar anyways.
If you're a cigar nerd or stogie geek, to use a better word.
Yeah, stogie geek.
Elogio's in everyone, you know, when you talk Elogio, you know, I mean, I walked into a store in Atlanta yesterday, and they had Elogio, and when I mentioned it to them, you know, there was like a connection. Hey, this guy, you know, does really respect cigars.
Yeah.
You know, same thing back with when I talked to the person. So it's one of those like real jump. It's for such a small brand to have that impact. It's amazing.
It's when you walk into a store that has it, you know you're walking to a store that really understands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the stores that can't keep it don't understand. So in other words, they have it. I know, and I can think of one store that had it that I know of. And they basically don't have it anymore because they did not. The guy who did know about that cigar left the store.
Yeah. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
You know the store I'm talking about, too. So.
Yeah. So, it's a hell of a line. So, you know, leaving Nicaragua, let's say, you go to Honduras, and I don't know about you, but, you know, Christian does some incredible stuff with Honduran Corojo tobacco, and I love it. But there's nothing coming out of that country to me that's really Cuban-esque.
No, I mean, you know, Christian is always about the authentic Corojo.
Yeah.
He'll always be about that. But no, there's nothing. And I'm curious to see if the chat room is going to come up with some stuff out of Honduras with that.
I mean, I can't think of anything, and it's just. It's one of those that. There's some good stuff coming out of there. I mean, maybe, and this is pushing it, maybe, in my opinion, Room 101 Namakubi could be the closest, or leads the pack.
It's a stretch. I would put it in.
Yeah, but that's still tough to say.
Yeah, Coots is not in that category.
No.
Leaf by Oscar is not in that category.
Yeah. Great cigars, but, I mean, it's just not.
How about anything from Races Cubanas?
I mean, a lot of it's just Alec Bradley, and I don't think Alec Bradley is really doing that stuff. I think Viaje stuff is not really Cuban-esque. I mean, it may be gold, you know, triple cap, and then two-bar that Cuban method, but.
There's nothing. Yeah, I would agree. It's not like it's Andre.
No, I mean, Andre made great sticks. And I mean, look, his packaging as well. His packaging really isn't even Cuban-esque. But it's still a great stick. I mean, gosh, Zombie Super Shots, I love.
Zombie Super Shots. Yeah, I mean, I love Satori's and Friends and Family.
There you go.
And, yep, I mean, so no, I mean, I'm just trying to think, you know, anything else, you know, that's Cuban-esque. I know Rocky has tried to go Cuban-esque with a couple of cigars, and I don't think he's been successful at it. I mean, I think he tried with the 1961. I really do. And I don't think it worked.
Yeah, he failed miserably with that. I mean, he failed miserably at making a decent non-Cuban cigar with that.
I agree.
That was a blow, but that's all right. Rocky can take it. You know, leaving Honduras, Dominican Republic, and this is tough for me because Dominican stuff, in my opinion, is just very Dominican, or it's, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, I don't think you can compare an Opus X to a Cuban.
No.
It's
too, I mean, Dominican. What's coming? Yeah, it's not. No, I mean, then when you get into Añejo, absolutely not.
Oh gosh, no, and it's, you know. You know, you look at, and you look at all the other Opus, the other Fuente products, and I just don't see a lot of the other stuff. Good cigars, but it's nothing getting close to it.
But let's look at the history for a second. You know, you think about it. Dominican was like, you know, Honduras and Nicaragua more newcomer.
Yeah.
Dominican was kind of the other island. And I think there was almost, to some extent, I don't want to say it was intentionally done different, but it was done different. Now, I'll say this. Aging Room with the La Bohème and the Bin Number 1 has definite Cuban qualities that I've not seen out of the Aging Rooms before. Those two releases. Whether you like them or not, I think you can argue that they have Cuban qualities, but I would not say anything else out of Aging Rooms had that before that this year.
Yeah. You know what just came to mind? The Davidoff Maduros. If you smoke the Davidoff Maduro, and you smoke a Cohiba Maduro, a Davidoff Maduro, it's kind of similar to that, but it's better.
And you think about it, they're not a Nicaraguan Maduro. That's what I mean. They're very, you know, we think Maduro, we think broadleaf Nicaraguan a lot. Yeah, but you're right. It's not that. But that's, you know.
But it's still a little different, but it's kind of showing some of those qualities, and it's, but, you know, overall there's nothing there. Overall, it kind of just showed that Cohiba Maduro quality, but that's a little bit different than, in my opinion, than a lot of that Cuban stuff.
But I'm thinking when Zeno moved his production out of Cuba to the Dominican, I don't know too much of the history. I mean, I know they moved it. I know the whole story. But was there an attempt to recreate the Cuban, to make those taste like Cubans, or were they just saying, hey, we're going to start over and see what we can do?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that either.
One of those, I think they said, hey, let's change it up, and, you know, I don't think there is, because I think they went down this whole Ecuadorian wrapper and Dominican filler, and I think they just kind of went for a different style that was just high end. I think they left at a time where they thought they just needed to do something more.
Okay, how about Avo, though? You think Avo, they did some of it with some of the grassy Avo notes?
You know, to be honest, I haven't smoked an Avo in a long time.
I know you're not a big Avo guy.
No, I'm not.
I would say there's some. I mean, I've had the Avo Lounge cigar, which is the one they sell in the lounges, and that one is probably one of the closer ones I could say. Yeah, I'd probably call it Cuban-esque. People may disagree with me on that.
Yeah. I'd have to smoke it. I haven't smoked it. Maybe it is.
The Limiteds, I mean, if you're thinking the Limiteds, I don't think the Limiteds are Cuban-esque at all.
Yeah.
They're totally different.
You know, I will say, and this is going back, and just because I've been smoking a crap ton of them lately, you go back to Tabacar Palma, Jose's Señorial, the number two, don't think about anything else, but the number two, that new Torpedo, it shows some Cuban-esque qualities to it for me.
I haven't smoked a Torpedo yet, so that's now I'll have to give that a shot.
And, you know, in conversations with Jose and Emma, they've even said in Europe that their cigar, that the consumers are saying, wow, this is like a strong Cuban. And I can see it in the number two. I don't see it in the other stuff, but I can see them saying, oh, this is like a stronger Cuban with that number two. So if you smoke the Señorial number two, that Torpedo, let me know what you think, because I think there is. So, anything else? I don't even think we really need to cover PDR.
No, I don't. But, you know, PSI Man just gave an interesting one. He said, what about Casa? And I don't think you've smoked Casa Cuba yet from Fuente.
I did smoke one.
I don't know if I agree 100% with that, because that had a very unique spice off of that thing.
Yeah.
But I see where he's going with that. I just think it had this layer of spice, which was very unique on it, that I didn't get off of Cuban.
Simon said the Davidoff Nicaragua short Corona is kind of Cuban-esque. I disagree with him. I think that, and, you know, this goes back to, I had a long conversation with with Jose Blanco about this. And at the end of the conversation, he and I both came to the agreement that the Davidoff Nicaragua can be seen as probably the most Dominican of Nicaraguan puros and the most Nicaraguan of Dominican puros on the market.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those cigars, it may not do great, and this was when it first came out, so it may not do terrific in the United States and speak to a lot of those Nicaraguan, all those Nicaraguan lovers out there, but internationally, I believe, and I maybe it is. I think it is. I think it did well because it's tamed down a little bit. It's not that in-your-face Nicaragua, and it's just a little bit more easier. And that's my thought. What are your thoughts on it?
I think I agree, and I think this is all hanky. And we've heard that Hanke's was resistant to work with Nicaraguan tobacco for a while. Yeah. But if Hanke was going to blend with it, Hanke wasn't not going to be Hanke. He was still going to be Hanke. And he knows what he likes in a cigar. And he found the he probably went through a lot of tobaccos, but he got something. There's no question he got something. It was a game changer in what you could do with a Nicaraguan cigar.
Yeah, it's a good stick. I really enjoy it. I don't know if I'd consider it Cuban-esque, but it's sure as tasty. I love it.
I think it's Dominican-esque. I think it's Dominican-esque is what very, it is.
It's very Dominican. Very good, and just very Dominican. So it's, that's that out of the Davidoff, which I'd say is pretty Cuban-esque. Now, we're going to go into an area, because I think I'm done with the DR. Is there anything in the DR that we left off? La Aurora, I don't think, is really... I think La Aurora...
Did we hit Lido? Lido, I don't think, either.
Yeah, the sad thing is, and some of these guys were skipping over just because it's just so clearly obvious there's nothing Cuban-esque about it, I think.
No, I mean, Lido is probably very un-Cuban-esque. Maybe people will disagree with us on that, but...
It's not that it's bad, it's just it's really far from being Cuban. No,
you don't think Cuban when you think of a Lido Gomez cigar.
Yeah. So now when and this is my thought, because this is the next area I want to jump to, and then we can go to another area really quick. But when I think of Miami, Little Havana, this is an area which is to me it's just very Miami. It tastes like a Miami-made cigar. It tastes like Little Havana. There's this Cuban quality to it, but at the same time, it's giving off this whole made-in-Miami quality. You know what I'm talking about? Do you get this when you smoke the cigars that are made in Miami?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily get a strong Cuban-esque. There's a heavy Cuban influence on those cigars.
Yeah.
Because, you go into El Titan de Bronze, you have Maria, Willie was there. You went into El Rey de los Albanos, again, so Pepin was there at one point. So, I mean, I think there was this heavy Cuban influence, but there's an intangible thing that you get on that Miami cigar, not Miami Cigar and Company, but the Miami Little Havana cigar.
Yeah.
And I can't put my – I'm trying to put my finger on it, but you're right.
You know what I think it is? And it's because they take the Cuban style of – they have one roller. There's one person working on your cigar. It's not a pair.
It's the custom. I mean, pretty much, it's the custom roll thing they're doing.
Yeah, it's this whole one person handles it and does the entire process. So there's almost this level of consistency throughout, which is making it what it is. I look at some of them. The La Palina Goldies. You look at the number two, I think the number five, last year,
13.
Last year was probably the most Cuban of the Goldies.
More so than the Petit Corona, I agree.
It showed some oil qualities, it showed some Cohiba qualities. I've smoked those with a guy who smokes a lot of Cubans. And he and I both agreed that it really showed, and his brother agreed with us, that it really just showed a lot of Cohiba and Oya qualities to it. Yep. But even the Laguito Especial kind of showed some of those qualities. I don't think it's as good as the 2 or the 5. But those are fairly Cuban-esque, in my opinion, from a lot of aspects. The packaging is kind of, but at the same time, it's still a little bit fancier and more modern. But to me, that's kind of Cuban-esque.
Here's where I think, if I had to say, I put my stamp on it with that, a little more in the strength category.
Yeah.
Media tempo.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's got a differentiating factor.
Yeah.
You probably say this is stronger than your classic Cuban-esque cigar.
Yeah. And even, you know, it's even if you smoke a Cohiba Bihique, which has Cuban medio tiempo in that, compare that with the Casa Fernandez Miami Reserva, big difference. And you can see the strength from that Nicaraguan medio tiempo.
Yeah, same way I'm thinking of the Viaje Unleaded. Nothing Cuban-esque about that. That thing is firepower with that.
Yeah.
But a lot of flavor.
Yeah, a lot of flavors. And that's just where it is. And it's just very good, but there's stuff about it which is not very Cuban-esque. Now, going to kind of the chat room really quick, Doc Bell said Curavari. Their packaging is pretty Cuban-esque, especially with the band. I don't think their sticks are entirely Cuban-esque. Very good Nicaraguans, but a lot of the other stuff is pretty Cuban. What are your thoughts on that, Will?
I haven't smoked enough Curavari, okay, but what I will say is the pattern I've seen of guys who like Cubans go to that cigar.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys I know in Charlotte that there is a shop that carries it, and they gravitate to that cigar, but they are Cuban smokers. They like their Cubans.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't smoked enough of it. To answer my pairing tonight, it's just coffee and it's a Harley Holmes thing. I'm a usual low test. It's coffee from QT. Give them a plug. And it's probably cold already. And a black label Tatuaje.
I have water. If anyone really cares.
I'm the lush on Stogie Geeks, as everyone knows.
No, but yeah. Have you smoked? Have you had the Skips coffee, the twin engine coffee in Temperance
Coffee?
I've
not had Skips. Now I've had other coffees from that company. And I mean when you went down to Nicaragua, how good was the coffee?
Oh my gosh, that coffee will wake you up. I am tolerant. Coffee really does very little for me because I remember I had like three Cafe Cubanos in my hand about to board the airplane to go down to Managua. And Willie's looking at me like, you're a crazy gringo. Like, you're going to be bouncing off the walls. And even this, you know, the Stogie guys were like, man, you're going to be jacked up. And one of them said he looked over a half hour into the flight, and I was just passed out, just done, because it just doesn't do much to me. But that's the way coffee's supposed to be, in my opinion.
Well, I thought their coffee, higher caffeine level.
Yeah.
But medium in body. With kind of this slight cocoa flavor to it.
Yeah, there's some cocoa, and it's almost like this. You know, my wife and I are drinking that Intemperance coffee, and it's jacking her up. But there's some cocoa and cherry qualities to it.
Yeah, a little bit of that cherry, that cherry quality. I don't drink a lot of caffeine. I am wired when I have any of those Nicaraguan coffees, and I've had other coffees from Column. So I've had other twin engine coffees, and I can tell you, when I went to Nicaragua, there's no such thing as a decaf coffee in Nicaragua. My heart the first day, I felt it palpitating. Okay, that's why I was able to make it up late every night.
it's jacked because of it.
Yeah, so because I feel the cap, because I don't drink a lot of caffeine, but when I do, it has an effect on me. I drove from Atlanta today, and I had caffeine, so. I may be a little wired today.
So, yeah, it's one of those. We talked about Regis Elogio. Someone mentioned the Jose Seau Signature Series.
Yeah, I can see it.
How many years ago is that? God, I haven't smoked one in years.
Seau is about 9 or 2009, I'm thinking, or 8. I'm not going to say I remember the, I'm guessing here. But, yeah, I mean, what about Matilde? We didn't talk about Matilde.
Wow. Man. I'm
not saying that.
They had to go down there.
God. That's an interesting one, though.
it's very, you know, Matilde is very interesting because it's very Dominican. At the same time, it's showing some Nicaraguan qualities. It probably has a little bit, and I'd have to smoke one again. I haven't smoked one in a little while, but I have some lying around.
Yeah, I'm actually queuing that up for review pretty. I haven't reviewed it formally yet, and I got to do that.
That's a really good smoke, but as Logan is calling this new Dominican stuff, and that's Matilde, Señoral, and some of the Caldwell stuff, it's the Dominican hipster stuff. It's the new wave Dominican, which is a good way of putting it, because that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Absolutely. Now, so, there's one. Yeah, go ahead.
Tom Holmes had a question. Do you think a Cuban cigar would overshadow a Cuban-esque cigar like Regis in sales due to it being Cuban? If I think, would a Cuban cigar outsell a Regis? Yes, I would.
I would. Sorry, Akil. And, yeah, but that's a fact.
I mean, yeah. I mean, whether it's better or not, it would. You can talk to Kook later on about the $40 Cohiba he just smoked. Non-Cuban Cohiba.
Yeah, you'll read about that tomorrow.
Simon,
it was nothing Cuban about that. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that. It wasn't totally that. It did have a twang. Lemon twang. Yeah. There was one brand that was mentioned that we haven't talked about.
Harley Holmes said Warped.
We haven't talked. It's two then.
Two. So that's Warped.
Warped is an interesting one.
I've been smoking a bunch of Warps lately, and El Oso is not very Cuban.
Nope.
It's very enjoyable, but it's not very Cuban. And if he's listening, I hate the boxes on that, by the way. I hate how that slide box is. I just need to get that off my chest. And if he somehow finds out about this, I'll tell him why, because it's one of those, you cannot get that box on without destroying the wrapper or a band on one of those cigars.
Oh, jeez.
It's just, you can take the box off easily, but you try and put it back on, you might as well smoke all 10 of that time. La Colmena is very interesting. I'd say it's that very Miami El Titan flavoring.
It's Miami El Titan, that sweetness. It doesn't have the strength. See, the thing is that what Kyle's doing is he's doing stuff in the Cuban tradition with the custom rolls and the sizes. He's bringing other Cuban-esque qualities to it in that perspective. He's not really going too much with the packaging, though, especially La Colmena, maybe a little bit, but he's putting his own spin on it. He's being a traditionalist more than a Cuban-esque person, I think.
La Colmena packaging to me is like, how I describe it is, it makes me think of like 1980s, 1990s Starship Galaxy. Everyone had those little, like, flag. Everyone has their own flag, that La Colmena flag. I don't know. For some reason, I just think of something along those lines. It's very galactic. There's that honeycomb thing going on with it. Simon brought up the other one.
Yeah. Let me make one more point on La Colmena real quick.
Yeah.
For boutique, if I'm buying stock in a boutique and they were publicly traded, IPO'd, I'm going Warped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, they're something special. He's onto something special, that kid.
Yeah, I got a jar door, which is huge and cool, and it's packed full of a bunch of stuff.
He is really bringing back the traditional sense of cigars, and I think he's doing a fantastic job. He was wonderful to talk to at the show, and we had him on Stogie Geeks, so it's a good, you know, people should definitely check them out.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him about some stuff, because he's really he's doing some really cool stuff. I'm digging his stuff. I smoked that Unico Especial.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great cigar.
Spanish for the special unicorn.
Yeah.
But Simon brought up a brand which you and I know.
Yeah. And Catfish now, too.
Catfish knows it, called Atabay.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
And this is by a man, Nelson Alfonso, right? Yeah.
Nelson Alfonso.
Who has done a lot of packaging for Habanos. A lot of the new packaging. He did the Bajique. He's done the new Vigueros, which are in the mail to Catfish and I. Our local LCDH were out, so we had to get them from a further away LCDH. Well, he did all the packaging stuff, which is a very modern, fancy packaging for those brands. But he's also doing Select Tobacco down in Costa Rica.
Made in Costa Rica. We don't know what the tobaccos are.
Yeah.
So the funny story, how I kind of stumbled onto this brand. What happened is, and can I mention another show?
Absolutely.
Okay. Cigar Authority, hosted by Dave Garofalo, who Seth and I both know. They do their cigar of the year, and they picked this brand out of bay for 2012. Now look, Dave distributes this cigar. Okay. I said, part of me is going, come on, really?
It's so, like, come on, you're distributing the brand, you're giving it number one. Like,
really? So I told my friend Andy, he actually travels between New Hampshire and Charlotte. I said, you got to pick me up this cigar. She picks me up. I know it's pricey. And I smoked that thing. And I said, my goodness. It probably would have been my number two cigar for 2012 behind the Goldie number two. It was that good. I saw Dave at the 2013 show, and I introduced myself, and I basically apologized, saying, let me tell you, you guys were right on with this cigar. And then he reached into his co-host, Mr. Jonathan's pocket, and took his Atabey and handed it to me. And Jonathan's like, that really was my last one. I'm like, I said, I'm taking it anyway. So the real deal, it really, you know, I know a lot of people may have heard of it that way, but it's a real deal. That cigar is the one of the best mild cigars I've ever had. It's a mild cigar.
It's very mild. As Simon says, there's no Costa Rican tobacco in those, and there is some Cuban. I cannot confirm nor deny those comments.
We don't know what the tobacco is.
I will say that. Yeah, I will say Select Tobacco sent me one. Because I saw the price, I was like, I sure as hell ain't buying one any day soon. Even though I saw positive reviews about it. And I smoked that thing, and it is phenomenal.
Yeah, then I gave Catfish one of my remaining ones, and because I went and got some more. And he ended up getting two at the show, that best.
Oh, yeah.
He smoked mine, too. But I wanted him to smoke that cigar, and even because I think I wanted him at least to have them on the radio.
Yeah. Catfish loved it. So,
what is Cuban-esque about that cigar?
It's when you say it's mild. I mean, that's almost of an over. I mean, understatement. It is very mild.
Mild in strength and body.
It's just
maybe it's closer to medium in body, but yeah.
It's just really soft and smooth, but there's this complexity to it that is just it shows a lot of unique qualities. To me, Cuban tobacco, when I think of Cuban tobacco, it's very old school flavors.
Yeah.
It's nothing like really popping in your face all the time, but it's there's these. I like to use the word stone fruit. I use it a lot with Cuban tobacco. And there's different varieties of it, but the Atabey is just it shows so much. Gosh, it's just it is.
There's a toast quality on that.
Yeah, there's toast. There's some stone fruit. There's this smooth creaminess to it. And it shows a lot of these qualities. And, you know, you see it in their other brands as well. I mean, they're not as good as Atabey. I'm not going to lie to you.
I really like Byron. And Byron's got its qualities, I think. But Byron, I see some other traits of it in Byron, and the third one's Bandolero.
Yeah.
Bandolero's got a very – it's got a sharper spice, but it kind of reminds me of just a sharper version of a Cuban spice. If there's any way to put that. A little bit of tanginess it has on it on top of that.
But Atabey is there. It's pricey. If you can afford one, give it a shot. Pick one up. you're gonna.
If you're asking for a cigar for Christmas, okay, and you want something, you know, someone wants to buy you a cigar, pick up the Atabey. You get a tube. You get the humidor tube. It's a nice Christmas gift. You could say it's a bucket list cigar. Check it off, and if you, you know, you could work, you reuse the tube afterwards. I mean, it's something, you know, a little. You can just go to the, they sell them through twoguys.com. So I mean,
and I mean, it's worth getting it smoking. I mean, it really is. It's pricey, yeah, but it's a great stick. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful qualities to it. I love it. Catfish is just madman about it. But it's just it's great, and Nelson did a great job. And you know, here's a guy. I mean, he didn't do any of the blending for Hamanos.
Everyone needs to understand. I don't think he does the blending on the selectives either. I'll be honest with you.
I think he has. They are working with really good tobacco, no matter where it's from, and they're making some really good blends. Are they pricey? Yes. They're really expensive. But I'll tell you one thing. They're probably one of the few blends that are worth the price. But also, I think it goes in with the packaging as well. The tubes are incredible. You can reuse the tubes like no other.
Oh, it's great. Like I said, you know, they're, some of them have some really nice artwork on them, especially the Byrons.
Yeah. It's the tubes are just fantastic. But you know, he's done a great job with it. It's very low profile. I think that's one of the reasons probably why it's not as, I mean, it's quality, the quantity of tobacco is very limited for the cigars. The cigar production is very limited. But I think the fact that it's just kind of a mystery is also one of the reasons why it's just not as out there as it could be.
I mean, let's put it this, when I smoked Atabey in 2013, early 2013, no one had heard of that cigar. It's now, they've made some traction in the last 18 months, I think. So now I think, like I said, it's on that Cigar Geek's radar, I'd say, Stogie Geek's radar. I have to get Paul, my co-host, to smoke it because I think it's in his wheelhouse.
I hear Bandolero is not that great. So it's good.
Very good. It's not an Atabey or Byron. It's got a very it's a niche. You gotta like a more. It's got a lot more spice, is what I'll say.
So, it's a really good stick. Now, Coop and I have even gotten to the conversations about it. It's almost because of the price. You put that side by side with the Bahique. And I'll tell you, it's nothing like the Cohiba Bahique. It's
no.
There's nothing alike, but it's one of those, which one's going to do better? Do I think the Atabey is a better cigar? You know, probably. But, you know, it's the Bahique probably will outsell it still just because of what it is.
You and so, I both, yeah, I mean, look at a cigar in that price range.
Oh yeah,
Davidoff, you're the snake or an Atabey? What do you take?
Davidoff, you're the snake or an Atabey?
Mm-hmm. You can leave one on the table and you could take one.
Oh man, you're the snake.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree to you're the snake, but we thought about it, didn't we?
Yeah, it's tough.
We did think. Now you want to say you're a horse or an Atabey? Which and I love you're a horse.
Atabey.
Atabey, yeah, and that's a $31 cigar. So, I mean, we're talking, and I think Year of the Horse is one of the best 60 ring gauges ever made.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a cigar that I think it competes very good. It just doesn't have the name.
Yeah, the name is just not it's not there yet, but it's a great stick. But you know, there's a lot of companies whose the name's not out there, but man, they got some really good stuff. You guys had him on the show and you smoked it. The Florida Selva Maduro.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's nothing Cuban about it. Nothing. I mean, fantastic stick. And I'll tell you one thing. It's if you go to your retailer and ask, hey, do you know anything about Florida Selva? Do you have it? Get him in touch with Gabriel Alvarez of Maya Selva. Great cigar.
Oh, my goodness. And let me tell you, Paul, my co-host, he is very picky about cigars. I tend to be more because I you know, he has his favorites. when he starts waxing poetic on the show, you know you've struck it. He loved that cigar.
Yeah.
And those Connecticuts are very unique. And I know we're digressing a bit, but isn't it unique how there's like every size has a completely different blend and not a tweaked blend? We're talking tobaccos from different regions, all with the same wrapper.
Oh, yeah. It's
the common out of that Connecticut is the wrapper, but she worked. That was an intent. She wanted to create a different smoking experience for every size.
Well, you know, it's you smoke your way through a Cuban portfolio. I mean, Olla de Monterrey is a classic example. You can get some Cuban Ollas, which are just very soft, very flavorful, but very smooth and creamy, and that's just what it is. But you can pick up another one like the Palmas or a Short Robusto. And it's completely different. They are nowhere near that double Corona, very soft, creamy, smooth. They are stronger.
But are the tobaccos the same, but tweaked?
I'm thinking that it's just it's different blends for the size.
Okay, that's there. So because that could be, because a lot of times a tweaked blend can make it taste different. But yeah, I mean it's you know today in today's boutique market especially, you just don't see that.
Yeah, you really
or the mass market. Or the mass market. Yeah, you just don't see it.
There are some, and I'm going to say it because I know it. Jose's told me. Every Señorial, it is blended for the size. It's not tweaked by proportions. He blended the Robusto, he blended the Corona, and he blended all of them. Now, they're all fairly similar, but it's not proportion-wise.
No.
I know you can say,
when you smoke the Gordo, it's very evident. And I thought the Gordo smoked very well. I was telling you that before the show. So there's no doubt Jose did that. He blended that for 60. You could tell.
So he's just – and that's the right way to do it. There are some of these companies that just don't do it. And to me, that's what the Cubans do. That's what they do. They blend for the size. They blend knowing, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we need to do. This new La Olla de San Juan, that is blended for that 6x54. They didn't just take a blend and then proportion it. They blended it for that, and it's worked out really well because of that. I can't believe we've already gone over an hour.
Yeah, it went fast.
Simon says Falto does the same thing with every cigar being a different blend. Yeah, so
the geeks up in Rhode Island really, because they have a lot more access to Falto. They're it's Paul's especially big, I should say, on Falto. And yeah. I agree with him. I've smoked a few of them. I'm not saying they're in my wheelhouse, but he's right on that. Absolutely.
So we'll wrap it up by what are some cigars which, and we're not going by packaging. What are some cigars which are non-Cuban, that are Cuban-esque, that you enjoy?
Wow.
That's a tough question. And I didn't give you any prep on this, and I didn't even prepare myself on this. I didn't think about it. I'm like, this is the question we're going to ask.
Regis comes to mind right away.
Yeah.
Regis Black Label right away. Where I've just absolutely...
Regis Black Robusto is a really good one.
Atabey. I'll play Atabey. You know, again, I'm taking the easy way out, but what I have not mentioned... Very good question. I want to say Aging Room Bin number one, but it's not. It's too strong to be Cuban-esque.
Señorial number two is that I'm smoking right now. I want you to smoke it. Tell me if I'm crazy or not. But that to me is showing some of that Cuban quality. But
I agree.
The Goldies, you know. I mean, I have boxes aging just because I don't want to smoke them, but I think they will. But there's not many out there. I mean, Elogio, Siri LSVs, if you find those are very Cuban-esque in that sense. So.
I'll give you a little bit of a surprise of one. We haven't talked about this. Well, I'll say two. I'll say, because there's two that I now thought of a second. Quesada España for one.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely, especially if you like Cubans, you'll like that. The other one, and this one may be more of a surprise, but I know it's got a little more in strength, but I'll say the, and I don't, I'm not sure you're a fan of this cigar either. Capish will disagree with me on this one, is the Pinolero by A.J. Fernandez.
Oh, I completely disagree with you. That's a good stick, though. That's a good stick. I like it.
I get what he was trying to do. It's stronger, yeah, but those two, I could see some Cuban-esque qualities, but maybe it's not totally Cuban-esque. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying, what he was trying to do. Now, I will say I smoked, and this is, he got back in 2008. He made some, there was a line, which I don't even know if it's still made for, Sol Cubano Cuban Classic for Cigars International and Cigar.com.
I haven't smoked that.
I don't even know if it's still around. This was back in 08, which is years ago. But he came up and he had some Toros with him. And they're more expensive. You could buy them. And we got handed one. And we're like, what's so... They're like, here, have this. We're like, okay, cool. Toro, thanks. He says, no, this is something different. We're like, what makes this so different? He's like, listen, these have the Sol Cubano bands, but these are cigars where it's an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper with Cuban and Nicaraguan tobacco in the blend. Great cigar. I don't have any more left. Great cigar. You could pick up the Cuban tobacco in it, but it really kind of showed what could happen if Cuba opened up and we started getting good tobacco with that and it working from there. And it was very fun.
I haven't had that one.
I don't even know if they still make them.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't had it.
So, and you know, it's one of those things, it's for a store when they first came out, it's really good, but then it kind of goes down over the end. It's kind of like the CI Legend series, the yellow that Pepin did back when he was first making them. Were really good, and then it just kind of became one of his mass production things.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how about Grey Cliff? There you go. Old Grey Cliff.
Which Grey Cliff would you say? I mean, I'm going to say Black Label, no. Green Label, yeah. Definitely no. Maybe Blue Label.
Yeah.
Maybe Blue Label.
What was it? Yeah. Not the white, not the Cristal. It's probably, I was thinking more blue or red. The purple's really damn tasty, but that's not Cuban-esque. But
boy, you want to talk about a company that went off the cliff? Speaking of, no, lack of a better term, Grey Cliff.
they're still around, aren't they? Were they at the show?
Yeah, I mean their booth is an interesting booth. It's like all white with like these beads hanging down, and it's like dead. You know, it's been dead. They've had their distribution problems, and now I think, you know, I don't want to give any more, but they've had some production problems as well. I mean, they've got issues right now. And then, you know, so I'm just shocked that I don't know how they're in business right now.
They got tons of money with a hotel. But
you're right. So, I'm sorry to Grey Cliff on that, but it's a fact.
The way it goes. But, yeah, man, so that's the hour. Coop, thanks for filling in, man. You and I can just chitty-chat afterwards, but that way
we can
stop broadcasting.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate the opportunity.
No, it was an interesting conversation because I'll tell you one thing. I think this could be very controversial. I'd love to see people's opinions on it.
I'd love to see Catfish's rebuttal. Catfish is a guy I highly respect his palate and his knowledge in this area too. So I'm kind of curious, even if he disagrees with me on a lot of stuff. I think it's
he'll probably bash the shit out of us for this whole show, which makes it even 15 times better.
Exactly. Yeah, he's gonna hate me now.
With him. But Catfish will be back. The next time we're doing a blind tasting with the Blind Man Puffs guys.
Those guys. Let me tell you, if you're an read online media. You've got to see the work that Blind Man's Puff is doing right now.
It's pretty intense. It's intense, man. That's legit.
And you're about to go through the process, and I'll tell you something. That is they have a whole system for blind reviews. They got it down to a science, these guys.
They spent time on this, and they're sending us some. We're doing it with Cubans with them. And they've told us we can't use any of our resources to kind of even get an idea of what it is. But as Catfish and I have determined in private messages, we're about to get something incredibly rare or really old, and we're just about to get schooled. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you look at guys who are really put the time and effort into Cigar Media, and Aaron and Emmett and those guys. And they do regular reviews as well. I think my first review was supposed to come out this week. It hasn't come out yet that I went through. I'm dying to find out what they sent me because I have no clue. So,
it's cool that they don't tell you until the review goes up, because I'd be one of those guys who's really wondering about it.
Yeah, they sent me 3 sticks. I smoked through the first 2. So,
good deal.
I'm dying to find out. Yep.
All right, well, that was What Embargo, episode 17 on Cubanesque. What is it? Are we full of shit? Who knows? So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a good episode.